Up our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We're working through 2 Corinthians together. And this is going to be part two of a message that we had a number of weeks ago. We did a little bit something different because of quote-unquote Holy Week and Easter Sunday and just some different emphases we've had recently. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 and actually do a part two message that relates to forgiveness. In fact, I'm going to use the same introduction, and for those of you that worship with us regularly, I hope it'll be coming back to your mind. We live in an era, at a time that people are very concerned about their health, right? We hear a lot of talk about vaccines, should you be vaccinated, wearing masks, social distancing, and obviously we all care about our health, and we all want to be a blessing to other people and encourage them in their health as well. And yet at the same time, there are other things, I would argue, and this is important, by the way, there are other things that are even more important that affect our health. Things like practicing forgiveness. According to Johns Hopkins Hospital, researchers there have shown us that those who practice forgiveness, you know what they experience? A boost in their immune system, reduced blood pressure, lower risk of heart disease and diabetes, reduced anxiety and depression. That's good stuff. I think all of us would say, that's what I want. What do I do? Part of it is practicing forgiveness. And so we had a message last week. I'm now going to read a couple weeks ago, but the last time we were in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 once again. The Apostle Paul is defending himself against people making false accusations against them. And one of the key guys that opposed his ministry, Paul has forgiven him. He's repented. Paul's forgiven him. I'll read verses 9 through 11. For to this end also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. And you can go back and listen to the message online. Here's the outline real quick. According to this text, what happens when we forgive? Paul says we obey God. You see that in verse 9? Paul says, I'm writing you, and I did write previously, that to see whether you're obedient, including would you forgive. But also when you forgive, it helps the church. Notice verse 10. Paul says, I did it for your sakes. But thirdly, when you forgive, it pleases Christ, because at the end of that same verse, verse 10, he says, I did it in the presence of Christ, in the face of Christ, meaning we're aware that Christ is always watching us. We want to do that which would please him. And finally, it thwarts Satan. Verse 11 says, so no advantage would be taken of us by Satan. We're not ignorant of his schemes. Sometimes there are people who repent and we don't forgive them and we actually think it's a good thing, like we are in the right. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to think, because that's how Satan hurts the church. And Paul says when you forgive somebody who repents, you're actually thwarting Satan. Now, as I preached this message last time in 2 Corinthians, I was thinking there's a couple of issues I'd like to address. I didn't have time, wasn't sure it was needed. And then after this message, I've gotten feedback, good questions, and it brought to my mind, we still need to talk a little bit more before we jump into verse 12 about forgiveness. Someone said to me, Greg, you mentioned in the sermon multiple times when somebody repents, you must forgive. I said, yes. He said, is that only when you forgive? And then someone else said, and what do you do when someone doesn't repent? And what does the Bible teach about this area? And in my mind, I thought, I don't know if I need to address that again because I already preached that. And so I just went back through my notes and I thought, when did I talk about this? I know I've talked about it. It was in December 2003. That's just 18 years ago. Guys, I am old enough, and I mean, 18 years does not seem like long ago to me anymore. And it's in my mind that I'm thinking I did this. In fact, there's a gentleman, a brother, a good friend. He's my age. And he said to me, he was in the first service. He said, Greg, I remember that sermon. I still remember that sermon. It doesn't seem that long ago to me. He said, why don't people remember these things? And we laughed together. Maybe it's time for a review. So I'm calling this message today, Forgiveness, Part 2. And we're going to focus on two verses of the Bible that actually are not in 2 Corinthians. They'll be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, they're inside your bulletin, just in case you're wondering why you don't see the 2 Corinthians passage. I hope this will be real clear real soon. Let's talk more today about forgiveness. When do you forgive? And what does forgiveness mean? And how does repentance play into it? We're going to look at two things that Jesus said. And here's the first one. Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus speaking. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, we're talking about forgiveness, so we're going to kind of not really focus so much on the rebuke him part. We'll talk about it. The main thing I want to do is look after the semicolon. If he repents, forgive him. I want to ask you a question. What's the imperative? What's the command? What is Jesus telling us we must do? Two words. Do you see it? Forgive him. That's the command. Let's take those one at a time. Forgive. What does forgive mean? Forgive means to pardon. Forgive means to release from the penalty of an offense. You're releasing it. You're letting it go. I'm going to use the same illustration I used last time as we were just introducing this a little bit. I took out a number of college loans from the university where I teach so that I could go to Clemson and get a grad degree. And I was told that if I taught for, I can't remember, a certain number of years, the loans would be forgiven. I kept teaching. I now owe the school no money. What happened? They've released me from the obligation. They forgave the debt. I am no longer indebted to them for the amount of money, and I appreciate them and their kindness in doing that. Forgive. Notice what comes next, the pronoun. Forgive him. Who's the him? Him is the guy who sinned against you. You rebuked him. He repented. And what do? You forgive him. So what's the command? Forgive him. Pay attention. When do you forgive him? Question. When do you forgive him? Answer. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If, it's called an if clause. If he repents, forgive him. Is forgiveness conditional? Yes. It's conditional on repentance. If he repents, then what do? Then you would forgive him. So someone sins against you. You rebuke him. Hey, you know, you shouldn't have done that. He repents. And then you would forgive him. That's what Jesus is teaching. So here's the question. What if he doesn't repent? What if someone sins against you and that person doesn't repent? Would you still forgive someone who doesn't repent? That's my question. Would you forgive someone who doesn't repent? Should you forgive someone who doesn't repent? And the answer is clearly what? Should you forgive someone who doesn't repent? The answer is clearly no. No. Look closely at that verse, guys. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Let's just stay with that. Should you rebuke someone who doesn't sin? I come up to you after the service. I rebuke you. You sinned against me. And you say, no, I didn't. And I say, yeah, I know. Guys, don't rebuke people who don't sin. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. What if he doesn't sin? Don't rebuke him. What if he doesn't repent? Don't forgive him. That's what Jesus said. These are the words of Jesus. Okay? Let me show you what God does with people. You say, Greg, this doesn't sound Christian. Isn't it what God does? How about 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does God forgive people who don't repent? Is there going to be a day, guys, where people leave this world without Jesus, no belief in Jesus? And as the end, the great judgment comes, the Lord says, all of you, come on in. And they say, we don't believe in Jesus. He says, I don't care. You don't have to repent. I just forgive people. You could believe anything you want. You are forgiven. No belief in Jesus necessary. No repentance. If you believe that, that is a false gospel. The Bible is very clear. There is one way to know the Lord in a personal way as your Father and to experience forgiveness. And that is through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in any other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. That's apostolic preaching. God loves, welcomes people to come to Him and seek forgiveness. As they repent, He forgives them. And as people repent, we should do the same thing. What does Ephesians 4:32 say? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. How? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. How did God forgive you? It's all based on Jesus Christ. It's all based on the virgin birth, God in the flesh, incarnation. Jesus lives a perfect life, goes to a cross, suffers, dies, is buried, risen again. And anyone who repents and puts faith in that experiences forgiveness. We are to forgive others the same way we are forgiven. As people repent, then we would forgive them. Let me give a practical illustration. And some of you, especially some of you down below in college, will find these familiar, I think, because I try to stay with similar illustrations in my teaching. Let's pretend after services, I go out and my truck is gone. And I go up to Pastor Ward. I say, hey, Pastor Ward, I need a ride home, and which he would be glad to give me. And he says, Greg, what happened to your truck? Is it broken down? I say, I don't know. My truck's gone. Someone stole my truck. And he says, who stole your truck? Like security watches people as they come in, and nobody came in. I say, well, then someone from Trinity stole my truck. Who? I don't know. So I go home. Ward takes me home. I'm down a truck, okay? Next week, I come back to church, and someone comes up to me and says, Pastor Greg, I've been struggling all week long. I stole your truck last week, and I am just so convicted. I would say, well, I'm glad you're convicted, okay? That's a good thing. And then if that person said to me, Pastor Greg, I repent. Would you please forgive me for stealing your truck? I would immediately say what? Who can tell me? Pastor Greg, will you forgive me? I stole your truck. I would immediately say, I would not. You guys, come on. What would I say? Where's my truck? You say, show me that in the verse. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he what? Repents, guys. What is repentance? Repentance is giving me my truck back. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, in all seriousness, I would say, thank you for talking to me. I sure hope I can forgive you. I just have one question. Are you giving me the truck back? What if he said no? I've always wanted an 18-year-old truck. You know, they don't make them like they used to. And you can buy another truck, and I'm just tired of seeing you in that truck. I want it. You never share. And I'm keeping the truck. Guys, that's not repentance. I wouldn't forgive him. He's coming to me and saying, hey, would you forgive me for taking your truck? And I'm just asking a simple question. Do you repent? And if he says, I'm not giving you the truck back, you've just answered my question with a no. You don't repent, I don't forgive you. Now let's change it. Hey, you stole my truck? Yeah, how'd you find out? You know, I don't know. I saw you driving around. And you know that's a sin. And I just want to talk to you. And you say, Pastor Greg, I'm so sorry. Hey, here's the truck back. I'm repentant. And I really, and it's in the, just as, in fact, I'll even put gas in it and wash it for you. How about that? And you know, do you forgive me? I would say, of course I do. I would love to forgive you. See, this is how life is supposed to work. It's supposed to be that when someone sins against me, I talk to them, and then they repent, and I forgive them. When I sin against you, I'm supposed to come up to you and say, I should have never done that. And you might not even have to rebuke me because I beat you to it. And I say, would you please forgive me? I do repent. And if it's because I stole your truck, I would obviously be giving it back. And this is reconciliation. This is how life is supposed to work for people that know Jesus. We all sin, even when we're trying not to. But we need to be quick to repent of our sin. And we need to be quick to forgive people who repent. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. You say, but what if he doesn't repent? Well, what if he doesn't sin? You don't rebuke people that don't sin. You don't forgive people that don't repent. The Lord doesn't, and we should be following the example the Lord has given us. Okay? You say, well, then what do we do? In the meantime, maybe we need to consider the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, and this will help us. Jesus says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Now, remember Luke 17:3, we said, what's the command? Second question, is there a condition? Let's do it again. Question, what's the command? Whenever you stand praying, come on, guys, what's the command? Forgive. Is this the same command as Luke 17:3? Were you watching carefully? Is this the same command as Luke 17:3? And the answer is what? It's close, but it's not. Notice the command, forgive. What are we missing? A pronoun. Do you notice it does not say, forgive him? Now, real quick, because I know we have different translations going on, the NIV translates this, forgive him. They supply the pronoun. There is no pronoun in the Greek text. The Holman Christian Standard Bible translates it, forgive him. And in both cases, the translators are adding the pronoun, assuming it's accurate. It's not in the Greek text. ESV, NASB, the more literal translations, King James, if I'm thinking right, all say forgive. And you do not see the word him. You say, why don't you forgive him? Who are we talking about? You say, the person you're talking to. I'm not talking to anyone. I'm praying. Whenever you stand praying, to be specific, I'm not talking to anyone horizontally. I'm talking to my Heavenly Father. And you say, what's up with standing? That was just a tradition back then. We could say, whenever you kneel, sit, stand, praying. And there's no one else but you and God. So no one's saying, I sinned against you, would you forgive me? There's no one else there horizontally to say, you sinned against me, I rebuke you, don't you want to ask my forgiveness? You're praying to God. And it says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. It doesn't say forgive him. No one's asking you for forgiveness. No one else is there. It's you and God. Let's review. What does the word forgive mean? To pardon? Release? How about this? To let it go. So what do you do when someone sins against you? And for whatever reason, there's many reasons, they haven't repented. You say, I should forgive him. Careful, drop the him. I should forgive. You release it. You let it go. You give it to God. Lord, this person sinned against me. And for whatever reason, they haven't repented. I'm not forgiving. They haven't asked. I know bitterness will eat me up. That is wrong. Lord, I give it to you. It's yours. I know you're a good God. I know you can change people. I know you can change that guy's heart. I know you can give me an even better truck. Lord, you could do anything. I release it. You say, when? Whenever you stand praying, then you would forgive. You say, so there's really no condition. There's not. See, Luke 17:3, right? If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. No if clause here in that sense. This simply says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. You release it and you let it go. You say, what would that look like again? I think that's a pretty good picture. Let me use my truck illustration again. Someone from Trinity steals my truck. They take it, and someone says, Greg, I know who took your truck. It's one of those students. I want to get student involvement. One of you guys in the activity center. One of you guys stole my truck. And then you left, and you're out of school. All summer, you're gone. And you drive across the country in my truck. Okay? And I'm thinking, well, this is not a blessing. How Luke 17:3, if your brother sins, rebuke him. How am I going to rebuke him? I don't even know where he is. He's out on the West Coast driving my truck. And I'm thinking, this is not right, but I can't do anything. Lord, here I am praying to you today. Every now and then I still think about walking to school. It's getting old. And this student has my truck. Lord, it's okay. I give it to you. I release it. I let it go. Lord, I know bitterness is wrong. This is what Jesus teaches. I've talked to a lot of people about really sad things that have happened to them in their past. I've had a lot of people tell me something like this. You know, Greg, somebody in my past has sinned against me in huge ways, and they have never repented. And there's many reasons for that. Sometimes it's because the person is now deceased. How can you repent when you're not alive? Sometimes the person may have Alzheimer's. I mean, they don't even remember what they did to me. Sometimes I just don't have access to the person, right? Someone hurt me in a great way. Where are they? I have no idea. Where do they live? I don't know. I'll never see them, probably. How could I rebuke them? I have no idea where they're at. And then people have said, so just forgive. Even though they've hurt you, even though they've never asked forgiveness, just forgive. That's what Christians do. And I'm not convinced of that. You release it to God. Yes, if that's what you mean, just forgive. But the idea of forgive that person, I've never asked. So my heart, let me stay with the truck. Well, that student took my truck, and I hope by God's grace one day she would want to repent. Okay? Until then, Lord, I just give it to you. You're in control. You know all things. Help me not to become bitter. And I think the bitterness thing is really an issue. When I teach this in class, a lot of students immediately come back with, so it's okay to be bitter. Is that what you're saying? And I understand that because sometimes we think failing to forgive means you're bitter. It can be. It doesn't have to be. I could simply say, you know, she took my truck. I would love to forgive her if she ever repents. Until then, I just release it to God. I know bitterness is wrong. There's no bitterness there. Let's review Ephesians 4. Most of us know 32 well. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I want to remind us of the previous verse, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Bitterness. You know, I still can't believe you stole my truck. Wrath, that means you explode. Anger, that's a slow burn. Oh, I hope you get a flat tire and crash. Clamor is jumping up and down, raising your voice, making a big deal. Slander, I'm going to tell everyone on Facebook, she might claim to love Jesus, she stole my truck. Okay? Malice is a general word for evil. None of that's appropriate. So to say you're not forgiving someone is not permission to sin in response to their sin. But it is an opportunity to release it to the Lord. You say, okay, don't do this. Can you give me something more positive? How about the end of Romans 12? Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. What should happen when I think about that person who stole my truck in my fictitious illustration? Lord, bless them. Just bless them. Now, some of you grew up in the South. Be careful with this word, okay? Because it has a different nuance down here. You're not allowed to bless them out, okay? That's not. Lord, give her a great summer. I pray her work will go well. I pray she'll enjoy driving my truck. I pray that things will go well with her parents. I pray the church will go well. Lord, just bless her. How about towards the end of Romans 12? That should be verse 31. No, I think it's right, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I mean, let's push it to the limit. I'm driving on campus when the new semester begins, and there's a girl driving my truck. And I think, wow, she still has my truck. And all of a sudden, she pulls over. She has a flat tire. I ought to help her. Hey, do you need help? Yeah, Dr. Mazak, I'm not really good like at changing tires. I say, how about if I give you a lesson? How about if I change the tire for you? Some of you have had people sin against you, and they have never repented for many different reasons. Now, if they're a Christian, obviously they should repent. If you've never rebuked them and they're a believer and you have the opportunity, you should rebuke them. Maybe you can't, maybe you tried, they didn't respond. Release it to the Lord. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. I had a conversation with a gentleman from our congregation, so I'm going to just make it a little more general. He said, Greg, there's a person in my family I'm really, really close to, and she has slandered me. She has lied to me, repeating the same lie over and over and over. And I have told her, that's a lie. She just keeps telling it. He said, I came to the place where I've decided I just need to love her. So every time I see her, I love her. I pray, Lord, help me to love her. Help me to show her love. In the words of Paul, Romans 12, 21, help me to overcome evil with good. And every time I look at her, I think there's still a problem, but I've released it to the Lord. I'm going to just keep loving her and loving her and loving her. And he said, one day she said, can I talk to you privately? And he said, yes. And she said, I've sinned against you. I have been slandering you to multiple people for a long time. You know it's a lie. Will you forgive me? And he was so, so thankful to be able to say, of course I do. And he forgave her. And there's reconciliation. And now things are well between this gentleman and someone else that he's very close to. This is what it should look like. We should be saying, Lord, even if someone doesn't repent, we hope they will, I'll just release it to you. No room for bitterness. I will do my best to bless them, to help them. This is what the Bible teaches. If a person repents, forgive him. It's a command. If he repents. I think we are sometimes too quick to say, I forgive you. Now, a lot of people never say it. That's a different issue. I think sometimes we fail to ask good questions. Just think the truck illustration. Dr. Mazak, please forgive me for stealing your truck. What if I say, yes, I forgive you? We're good. I've released her. She has the truck. I've just let her know I've released it. I'm good. And then what happens is later on we start talking about, hey, don't I like ever get the truck back? And she's like, what do you mean? You forgave me. We need to ask good questions. Okay? Honey, would you forgive me for being on the internet and looking at very wrong things? And I would counsel a wife not to say yes. I would counsel a wife to say, honey, I just want to ask you one question. Are you repentant? Are you saying that we're going to get a filter on the internet? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that I can have access to your phone at any time? I will have your password and you won't set up another account. Honey, is that what you're saying? And a repentant person says, of course. No problem at all. Of course. And then she would say, of course I forgive you. The Bible says, if a person repents, forgive. You're obviously repentant. Students sometimes say, Dr. Merrick, I'm still struggling with this. And I usually use this specific example. It seems to be the one that is communicated best. I'll say to the young ladies in my class, one day perhaps you'll be married. I hope this never happens. But one day your spouse might say to you, I've done something horribly wrong. I have violated our marriage vows. Would you please forgive me? And what do you say? Do you immediately say yes? Never. You would say, do you repent? And I'll say to the young ladies this, what if a husband said to his wife, I violated my marriage vows, would you forgive me? And oh, by the way, now that I'm back with my old girlfriend, we're actually planning a getaway this coming weekend. I really like being with her. In fact, I won't be home for dinner tonight. She's cooking instead. But would you forgive me? And obviously, you would say no, because you're not repentant. That illustration somehow seems to help the light bulb to go on. That I get it now. Would you forgive a spouse like that? Of course you wouldn't. But if he repents, forgive him. This is what Jesus teaches. Conclusions to wrap this up. What do we know about forgiveness? Number one, when a brother repents, we must forgive him, pardoning him of his sin. So if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. You might not want to just say real quick, sure, yes, I do. You might want to just say, hey, can we talk a little bit? Are you really repentant? And if the person is, of course, forgive, pardoning him of his sin. But what if the person doesn't repent? When a brother doesn't repent, we forgive. You say, forgive him. No, he's not asking for forgiveness. He's not repenting. You say, then I could be bitter. No, we've already covered that. Bitterness is still wrong. But when a brother doesn't repent, what do? We're praying. And we pray, Lord, I've just been thinking about my truck, and she still has it. God, you are so good. You are just an awesome God. You love me. You're in charge of everything, Lord. If you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, I'm guessing you could give me a new truck anytime you wanted. I know that you can work in her heart. I hope you will. Until you do, Lord, you're just so good. And I just give this to you. No anger, no malice, no slander, no, Lord, get her good. No, Lord, I just release it to you, palms up, and Lord, you'll take care of it, and everything's fine. And then you say, aha, you've forgiven her. No, I haven't. She hasn't asked, but I've released it. When a brother doesn't repent, we must forgive, releasing it to the Lord. You say, Greg, both of these are hard. I think both of these are very hard. Because when someone, the truck's silly, I know, but when someone hurts you, and some of you, many of you, have been hurt in ways that are far beyond the truck, and you've been hurt deeply, and you say, and I'm supposed to forgive the person who repents if they repent, yes. And if they don't, I'm still supposed to just let it go, giving it to God. That's correct. You say, how in the world can I do that? By God's grace. Because you are a recipient of forgiveness. I mean, this whole thing seems kind of crazy. Like, wow, they got away with a lot. Guys, this is how I feel about life. I've gotten away with a lot. I'm supposed to be condemned for my sin. I'm supposed to be eternally judged because I have sinned against my Creator. But there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And every day we should just be overwhelmed with, God, you loved me so much. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what He did. And Lord, you are so forgiving. If this is what you command me to do, then please give me the grace and I'll do it. It is the forgiveness that I've experienced by putting faith in Jesus Christ that provides the fuel that will encourage you to obey Jesus. So when a brother repents, we must forgive him, pardoning him of his sin. And when a brother doesn't repent, we must forgive, releasing it to the Lord. And just in case something's coming to your mind this morning, and you say, Greg, it's not that I'm struggling to forgive somebody, it's I have sinned against someone, and I have never gone back to them and asked for forgiveness. Well, that's covered here as well. And by God's grace, I trust, because Christ has forgiven you, you would want to initiate that and go look that person up as able, as appropriate, and repent and seek their forgiveness. This is the wording of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some, it might be a little different than you're used to thinking of it. If you're struggling, just remember those two verses and pray, Lord, what Greg said today, it's a little different than what I'm used to. But I believe your word is true, and I believe the Holy Spirit will help me know. Lord, I'm just going to pray about these verses all week, and I am confident that God will illumine your mind to the truth of the Scripture if you come to Him and ask Him. All for His glory. Let's pray.